and welcome to TDF Talks, a fortnightly podcast from The Design Files, Australia's most popular design blog. Thank you for tuning in to episode 13, which is the first episode in our third series. I'm your host, Lucy Fagans, and I'm the founder and editor of The Design Files. Every 2 weeks, this podcast features an inspiring chat with a noteworthy Australian creative, from designers, makers, and artists to successful creative entrepreneurs to architects, gallerists, and more. TDF Talks is an enhanced podcast, which means if you listen using the Overcast or Pocket Casts apps, you will see images and links in your player while you listen. In today's episode, we chat to Christina Carlson, the founder and creative director of cult stationery brand Kiki K. Christina moved to Melbourne from Sweden in 1995 and founded her business in 2001. In the 17 years that have passed since then, Kiki K has grown into a household name with more than 100 stores across 5 countries and an online store which sells to stationery lovers in 143 countries worldwide. Kiki K's motto is to inspire and empower people to live their best life every day. And they do that through a beautiful product range that supports dreaming big, organizing, and goal setting. As the company's founder, Christina embodies this manifesto wholeheartedly. She's devoted to a lifetime of learning and continual self-improvement, both at work and in her personal life. This is apparent in everything she does, from daily gratitude rituals at home with her kids, to an ongoing commitment to empowering other women in business through speaking opportunities and events. And now to authoring her very first book, which comes out next month. Your Dream Life Starts Here is the name of the book, and it's based on Christina's firm belief in the power of dreaming big. The book gives an incredible insight into Christina's contagiously optimistic way of thinking and her matter-of-fact approach to getting things done. Today, Christina chats to us about the incredible success of her business and the power of dreaming big. Hello and welcome to TDF Talks. Today, I'm in Port Melbourne at the headquarters of Australian stationery brand Kiki K with the company's founder, Christina Carlson. We're so thrilled to chat to the woman behind the brand today. Christina, thanks so much for being on our podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I'd love to know a little bit more about your background before Kiki K. You grew up in Sweden. So what brought you to Australia and what were you doing before Kiki K?
So I met my partner Paul in a ski resort in Austria, and that's what brought me to Australia. But before that, I went to school, finished year 12, but I grew up on a farm and we never traveled. So I had a real passion for travel. So I spent a year in the US and I studied German in Germany, and I worked in a wine resort in Germany as well, and was a tour guide. So I did lots of different things. And when I decided to come to Australia and stay here, which was a big deal at the time, I thought I have to do something that I'm excited about. And at 3 a.m. in the morning, I came up with my list, which is my 3 a.m. list. And on that list, I had that I wanted to drive to work every single day, which I'm sure you do, and absolutely love what I was doing. I wanted to have a business on my own, want to have a connection with Sweden, work with Swedish design, and make $500 a week. So that was kind of my start on my venture, Kiki K.
And you launched Kiki K in 2001. And at the time, how long had you been in Australia at that time? 5 or 6 years, was
it? Yeah.
So what was your plan for the business at that time? Like, did you imagine from the beginning that Kiki K would be what it is now?
Yes and no, because when I had my little 3M list, I went out to buy some products because I had on my list that I wanted to have my own business, and I wanted to have a beautiful home office. You know, I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yes.
Being a design girl, and I wanted to have a beautiful home office, and so I went out to buy some products too. I loved organizing, and I loved to have everything color coordinated and good quality. And back then, and this is quite a while ago now, there just wasn't anything on the market. So it's not the right word, depressed. I need to find a better word for that because it's not the right word. But I kind of got down thinking this is so boring. It's all price-driven, badly designed in my opinion, and bad quality. So I got down a bit. But then I got super excited and I thought, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to open beautiful Swedish design stores around the world. So even though I didn't really know what that meant, that was my kind of vision. And I wanted to have beautiful Kiki K stores around the world in my favorite cities, being, you know, Paris, London, New York, and et cetera, Stockholm, Copenhagen, you know, lots of them. And we are still not there, but we now have stores in 5 countries, and we wholesale to around 3,000 doors, I think, across the world, and we sell to 143 countries online. So even though I had that big vision, but I didn't really know what that meant. I remember actually saying to a journalist back in the days, saying, I'm going to have 40 stores. And I felt sick saying that. I was so nervous and thinking, I said to Paul, I cannot believe I said 40, but you know, but she didn't even blink. She thought that was kind of, you know, she wasn't me, of course. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to really deliver that now. So, yeah. So both, I had big vision, but I don't think I really understood what that was going to mean, because I had no idea about anything.
Yeah. But having that vision is so important. And we will come back to that later, because, you know, a lot of the people that I interview, slightly smaller entrepreneurs than you, don't always see that end point. And I think having that big vision is actually, it is scary to say out loud, you know, those kind of big numbers. But I think that has to be a massive part of your success, is having had that dream from the beginning.
I guess. I do think that there's like, they're having a clear vision and having a, you know, the end dream goal is really important, because that pull you forward. And if you, you know, because you know how it is, starting a small business is not easy and most of them fail. So having that kind of big vision is really important. But then it's kind of really good not to know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if we could do it if you knew what you have to go through to get where you are today. So I think those, you know, merit in both.
Yeah, totally. And what does Kiki K look like today? So tell us how many staff you have, and also what your role is day to day in the business these days.
Yeah. So at Christmas time, which is, you know, our peak time around the world, we'd be over 1,000 people. But obviously retail is, you know, it's open kind of almost 24/7 in some markets. And so we are a lot of people. There'd be less during the rest of the year. And my everyday now is still the creative director, and that's kind of where my passion started, and I'm kind of back to that. I had, you know, had every role in the business and learned a lot, but learned to delegate the things that I wasn't so good at and also what I didn't love. And so now I'm the creative director and oversee all the products, and that's my passion, design and the content. So as I have evolved over the years, I am very much into living my best life, and I'm a big into dreaming. So I love dreaming up big dreams and thinking about what my dream life could look like. And I love sharing that through our products and how to live your best life.
I know this is well documented and you're probably sick of talking about it, but it's common knowledge that you guys sold your home in order to fund Kiki K in the early days. And that's like interesting to me in terms of this idea of taking risks, and it was a big risk and it did pay off, but it must have been scary at the time. So can you tell us about that? Like, did you have any doubt that you were on the right path when you took that big risk in the early days?
I don't know if I could take that risk now, because, you know, I didn't, it wasn't my house, it was Paul's house, and obviously a big risk. But I always felt that if we lost everything then in terms of losing the house, I mean, we lost the house, but, you know, if we couldn't buy a new house, that I would always be able to somehow make up for that. So that was kind of my, you know, that was my thinking, that in my lifetime I should be able to do something that I could give this house back.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I just would not want to lose it. So I decided, if this is what we're going to do, and we had other, you know, family, like my mum and dad, when they sold their business, they invested a small amount of money, and the same with Paul's mum. And I didn't take that lightly. I thought, I'm signing this with my blood. Like, there's no way I'm losing it. So, and of course, you don't really know when you start a business if that's how it's going to be. But, you know, we had a business plan. It was really quite clear what we needed to do, and, you know, a big vision. And I just loved what I was doing. So as much as it was scary, in terms of selling the house, but that was the only way. Like, you know, I came here and I couldn't even get a credit card, so there was no way I could get a bank loan. And so that was kind of our only option. And it was scary at the time because 9/11 in New York just happened. Daimaru, which was in Melbourne Central, was closing. Level 3 Melbourne Centre was kind of dead. So it was, I was thinking, if we can make this work, it would work anywhere. And, you know, we got a good deal on Melbourne Central upstairs because no one really wanted to be up there. This is before it was developed and what it is today. But, yeah, so it was kind of, it was scary, but I was so determined and I also loved what I was doing. Like, you know, that Monday morning drive every day, I loved it and I still do. That really helped being passionate about what I was doing.
Yeah. And so this is probably an impossible question to answer succinctly, but I'm curious, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners would be curious about how a business starts with that single vision of one store and grows from one store that's funded independently to a store that, a company that is now the size of Kiki K today. So how does a business that starts with one independently owned store evolve into a business with 80 to 100 stores? And at what point is there a tipping point where you kind of realize that it's suddenly much bigger?
Because I had that vision from day one, like one store was kind of just really proving the concept. And because we won the most innovative store that year, Lord Mayor's most innovative store, we won a customer service award and it was super exciting. And, you know, we did some great products and we had all the shopping centers calling us and saying, hey, can you come to our, which I was super excited about, of course, but we only had one house to sell. So the first way we were trying to work out, because the plan was so big, we decided that we are going to get an investor involved, but we kind of needed to prove the concept a little bit more. And, you know, if I went to the bank, they were like, we need more history. And I think they said history up to like, you know, 25 stores or something. So I was like, oh, this is so boring. But, but you know, I was never driven about making money. Like I always want to make money so we could pay rents and you know, pay our people, of course. But it wasn't for me. The drive was to love, you know, to work with something that I loved. And that was, you know, in the tough, you know, it's been tough years, of course. We all experienced that. But the whole drive through those tough years was, I just want to keep doing what I love doing. And that was the goal. But to go back to your question, was we wanted to prove the concept for a couple of stores before we were taking on a big investor. So we went to our shop fitter and he has been amazing. We said to him, would you consider fund upfront? Because normal shop fitters will like to have the funds before, because obviously they don't know who you are. And we asked him if we could do, I think it was three stores, and we will pay it off. I think he went to his lawyer and he went to his bank people, and they all advised him not to do that. But he said yes, and forever grateful to him. And that's kind of got us going. And then once we got a few stores up and running, we then decided to take an investor involved. And we had a few runs of investors over the years, and that got us to grow to where we are today.
Yeah. But also you don't have a business background, so even just navigating that negotiation with investors must have been like a really challenging thing. Like were you nerve-wracked about that, or was the confidence in your vision enough to carry you through those negotiations?
No, but I had no idea about anything. So so I learned by reading, going to see people speak, asking questions. Like I had like zero idea about anything. So it was kind of easy because there was no background in any. Paul certainly had much more background and business degree. But the way that I dealt with that was I went to see a lot of people speak. So, for example, when we needed to raise capital and that was on our list to do, I went to see a lot of speakers about how did they raise capital. And there was one woman, Gillian Franklin from the Heat Group, and I went to see her. I loved what she had done, and so I just asked her, can I have a coffee? And I think when she said yes, I was there within a few minutes. I was so excited with the business plan. So I learned from people who's done it before, and I think that's a really key message for anyone who's listening who wants to start the business, their own business, is that a lot of people have done it before, maybe in a different way, but learning from others has been absolutely crucial for my for my development and the business growth. And you know, we saw retailers, because we'd never been in retail. We had no idea. We went to speak to people and learn and taking action and develop that way.
So you opened your business 17 years ago, and retail was so different back then. And as you said, there was no one really in the category that Kiki K is in now. Do you think that if you were to open Kiki K today, that you could do it in the same way, or that you would have the same success if you started from now, from today?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I might not do it exactly the same, but I think the exciting time that it is now is that you can go global much faster. You know, we started when the internet wasn't even happening. I mean, it was just starting. Yeah. So I think the potential now is incredible. It's more competition in that way because of that. But I feel like it's just such an exciting time to start a business, because there's just no limits. And I think the hardest one is actually not starting yet. It's more, what do you focus on? Because there are so much you can do. You can do collaboration with people around the world, which wasn't, you know, as easy to do compared to, you know, it is today. So I think it's, I definitely think I could do it again, but I might just have to think about it a little bit differently. But
yeah,
you evolve, as obviously the business that we had 17 years ago is very different to what it is today.
Yeah. A lot of your products and the Kiki K ethos really rests on an idea of self-improvement. So planning, list making, journaling, setting goals. And I've only known you for maybe 6 months or so, but I really see that in you, in your personal life as well, that there's a real passion for self-improvement and getting the most out of life and out of family and all that. It feels like something that is very, very much a big part of your personality. So what is it that drives this passion for self-improvement and constant growth, and is it something you've always had?
Yes. Well, I don't really know if I always had it, but I have a thing that, regardless, if we get to live a long life, life is short. And I just want to live, you know, my best life as much as I possibly can. And I don't want to live with regrets. I want to make sure that, you know, at the end of my life, did I do everything that I wanted to do? So I think in terms of learning, I love learning new things. I love reading. I'm constantly learning new things. And when I test it on myself, I love sharing it with other people and obviously our Kiki K community. And I feel so sad for people that I meet, and I meet quite a lot of them when I'm out speaking, that don't live their best life or their dream life. And that's why I've been writing a book the last few months about how to create your dream life, because I really feel that we can all do it. It doesn't mean that everyone obviously starting the business. It could be whatever is right for those people. I do really feel like if we can create products that help people, you know, create three dreams and making them happen in their lifetime, I think we have done a really good job. So our purpose at Kiki K is now to inspire and empower people to live their best life. And we do that under four pillars, which is dreaming. I'm a big believer that it all starts with dreaming, because you don't have any, like, dreaming everyone can do. So young, old, you know, if you're unwell, everyone can dream, and it's free as well. So dreaming is where everything, in my opinion, should start. But then, of course, you can dream all your life but not doing anything. So do is, you know, taking action, setting goals and making sure your dreams are coming true. And then the last one, I believe dreaming big, set big goals, but enjoy the little things in life. That's why we're doing teacups and candles and, you know, greeting cards and all those things that is really beautiful, and journals and things that can be about enjoying little things in life. And the last word is share in our purpose, because we all have something we can share. There's always someone behind us. And so I do whatever I can in what I'm learning, but everyone can do that. So there's always someone younger than you or less fortunate than you. So I love that our purpose is really something that we are trying to deliver through all that we do.
Yeah. And you've got a few traditions in your household as well that kind of tie into this feeling of self-improvement and living your best life. And can you tell us a little bit about your gratefulness ritual that you do with your kids at home?
Yeah. So every night when we sit down for dinner, we do what we call the four G's. And that stands for grateful, one good thing that happened today, or the highlight of the day. the goal for tomorrow and the gram of the day. And that means that, you know, Tiffany, who's seven, doesn't take Instagram photos, but it could be the picture of the day. So if we could all take a photo today to, you know, demonstrate the, you know, something that happened today, what would that be? So it's amazing what comes up, because a lot of, you know, Tiffany would have done that since she was able to talk, to hear her goals for the day, you know, for the following day, and the gratitude and understanding that, you know, people, the all that we have is incredible, and not everyone is as fortunate as us. So it's been really good, and we often do it when people come, which I guess you came.
Yeah, I was really inspired.
But it's something really good, and that we do with all everyone who comes around, and it's really nice, and some really lovely conversations sparks out of that as well.
Yeah, it feels like a really lovely little ritual to have.
Yeah,
yeah, and to get the kids involved in.
Absolutely.
On the subject of family, your husband, Paul, was your CEO but has been a big part of the Kiki K story and used to work with you and now has a role on the board of Kiki K. You guys make such a brilliant team. Did you always intend to be in business together, and what have you learned about working with family or working with your husband?
No, we didn't intend to do that. I think once we sold his house.
He was on board, whether he liked it or not, yeah.
And I think one of his dreams was to help me get started. And, of course, we never really – we got started, but it was ever-evolving and a big, big dream that we had. So he has been – there's no way Kiki K would be anywhere near where we are today if it wasn't for him. So we are a very good team. We have we work differently. He's really good at the details, and I often love the thought of doing something, but then I'm not so good at carrying it through, and he's brilliant at that. So we always worked really well. And even when we were in the beginning, when he was just going to help out, and then he got kind of sucked in and loved it as well. We kind of just took turns in terms of running the business. If I thought he didn't do a good job, I took over, and the vice versa. And it was like very organic to start with, but we always knew where our strengths were. But once we had kids, I decided to really not run the business that way anymore, and he took over to be the CEO and done a brilliant job. And then he decided 3 years ago that it was time for him to not doing that job anymore. And so, but he's very much involved still. Like, I just couldn't have written the book. Like, it's basically it's my book, but it's really it's both of us contributing to that book. So we do still work really well, and every idea I have, I run through, and we work really well together. And it's, it has its positives and negatives, like with everything in life. There's no such a thing as just perfect. But I think overall we work really well together. It's the only thing is that it's a lot of work conversation at home.
I can imagine.
So you have to kind of just, for us, I have a rule on Sundays. I never mention Kiki K if I don't have to, and really try to stick with that. It doesn't always happen that way, but that's kind of that's one like unwritten rule that we have. Like, let's just really not think about work today. But of course, that's not always the reality.
Yeah, when you work for yourself, it can be all-consuming. Yeah. Beyond family, you also surround yourself with a really close-knit circle of other inspiring businesswomen who are friends, but who also have their own incredible businesses or other projects. And you have a book club, which I'm very inspired by, with a lot of these women.
Yep.
So people like Dr. Libby, Alyssa Camplin, Joe Horgan from Mecca are some of your friends and confidants. Why is it important for you to seek out and stay connected to these women? And they mostly are women. And how do you support each other?
I think it's absolutely vital to surround yourself with people that are inspiring and takes you to the next level. So the book group that I created a few years ago was basically based on, I read a lot of personal development and business books and biographies. I never really read a novel these days because I just love it. I love improving. I love talking about it. But some of my friends are not into that. So I had on my list for a long time to create a book group based on personal development, but I never had the time, and travel so much. And then 1 year I just decided that was one of my dreams to make it come true. And I basically just had a list of people that I admired. So Marianne Shearer from T2 was one of them. So I asked her, and also they had to love personal development books as well. It can't just be that I love them as a person, because there's a lot of people that I love as people but don't have that interest. So I seeked out those people. And, you know, someone like Alyssa Kamplan, I met her on an aeroplane. It was Axel sitting next to her, actually. And then we met at a function and we started talking books. And I said, you should join my book group. So she joined. You know, we have, you know, Linda from Aurora. And there's so many amazing people. You know, Dr. Libby I met at Richard Branson's Island. She's one of the speakers. And we just got along so well. And then she joined the group. So, you know, she comes from Queensland. And, you know, my best friend, Anna Karin, and Sally, they come from Sydney. So it's a very beautiful book group. And when they leave that night, when we have talked about the book, and the book is for only a small amount of the time that we talk about, because they all travel, most of them have their own businesses, and I just feel like I am so inspired. So we just went to New York last year, because I was based in Sweden last year. They decided we're going to come 1 month to Sweden. I'm like, that's crazy. But they did, and we had the best time. So when they left, I felt like we can do anything in the world. So I think it's so important to surround yourself with inspiring people. It doesn't have to be business people. It could be anything in what you're interested in. So if it's interested in design, surround yourself with more people in that, because I think it could make a massive difference to your everyday actions. And I feel like there's nothing I can't do now, because I feel like I have all these amazing women who can help me, you know, feel confident and strong to do what I love doing.
Yeah. I was going to say as well, like, that is a pretty like power kind of team of women. And I'm wondering, like, at your level, you know, so many women look up to you as an incredible businesswoman and entrepreneur, but do you still have others that you look up to? Like, do you still feel like you've got a lot to learn from other women?
100%. You know, and I don't think that's just people who are bigger business women or, you know, have bigger businesses or bigger personalities in the world. I get inspired by people who are doing something in the world in terms of living their best life. So that could be that they are, you know, living their best life, being their best, you know, being a mom, or it could be someone like, you know, like Arianna Huffington, who's doing some amazing stuff in the world. And, you know, Stella McCartney is very much someone who I admire very much, because she does so many great things in the environment space and, you know, obviously in the fashion world. So there are so many people who are inspiring to me, and it's not just women. You know, there's lots of men as well. And I think that is such an exciting time to be alive, to be able to access these people through social media or books or whatever it is. I find it absolutely fascinating that you can, you know, pay $20 to $30 for a book and get someone's wisdom for a whole lifetime. And that's why I love reading.
That's so true. And we'll soon be able to purchase your wisdom in your new book. You've seen incredible growth over the past 17 years since opening your first store, but retail has changed a lot in that time. How has the changing retail landscape affected your business? So things like shopping turning to online and having to be content creators as well as retailers and that kind of thing. What challenges have you faced on that front?
You know, it's funny. I was speaking to Paul about this yesterday, and I have never heard since we started that retail is easy. Never. Like, it's always tough for people and it's always challenging, you know, high rents, etc. So I feel like I've always lived that. Like, it's, you know, some stores are amazing, some are more challenging, and I live with that since I started a business. But saying that, obviously online has taken, you know, we do really well online, selling to 143 countries. Blows my mind thinking how did that happen, and without us actually, you know, promoting and having obviously stores in great locations like, you know, Covent Garden, London, where people see us, you know, as a global retailer. And you know, I meet people all the time who travel here that goes and see us and then start buying online. So that's an exciting time, because your online is just growing and it's just amazing. And in terms of content, it's very much part of our purpose. So that's kind of really is great as well, because what we do is not just a notebook. There's something behind that notebook. So that really feeds into our purpose as well. So I feel like it's a challenging time for a lot of retailers, but it's also a very exciting time. So you just have to change and try different things, and the scope of working with global people is just incredible. So I'm very grateful, even though it is often challenging, but it's has been like that since I started.
Yeah. What is a really important piece of business advice that you've learned along the way? I'm sure you've learned many, but do you have anything, that real motto or some a learning that you could share that's been really pivotal to the growth of Kiki K?
Yeah. There's lots, but the one that I always think back on is who can help you. And I still do that. You know, thinking of us starting a podcast, like who are great at this space. I always look, I never just think about what can I do, is who can help me. So that could mean reaching out to people who've done it before, or read about people, or, you know, look online to see who's done that in before and learn from that. So who. And it's very much part of everything that I do. So if I need to learn something new, if I'm going somewhere, I always ask who can help me with that.
It's good to be reminded of that. I feel like often, like, perhaps with success comes a little bit more separation from what other people are doing, and you can end up in a bit of a bubble with your own team, and it's not always easy to look outside and to be vulnerable enough to say I need help with this.
Absolutely.
That's a really powerful reminder.
And also think that, you know, it's, you know, I think some people that I meet think that you arrive in a certain time, you know, if you open, you know, 100 stores or whatever, but the challenge is just changing in a different way. Like you never really arrive, I'm done, like, not in my view anyway, because it's always like, what is our next step, and how do you evolve as a person as you grow? And you know, you never really arrive and say, I'm done. I think you don't do that until you die.
Well, you don't, because you're amazing. Some people would be like, okay, I'm done now. I'm going to have a sleep in. Yeah. That doesn't happen at Christina Carlson's house.
Yes, it does.
What's something you haven't done yet that you'd love to do?
I've just written a book, and I haven't done that before, even though we've done a lot of content books. This is the first book in my name, and that's been a challenge. I had no idea how to write a book, and I actually went away, which is something I encourage everyone to do. I went away without my phone, without any books, nothing, which is kind of scary for me because I love reading. So went away for a few days with just my journal and a pen, and came up with some new ideas. And one of them was to not just share, because I've had a lot of interest in sharing the Kiki K story, which I think we can do one day, but I feel like we're right in the middle of the story, but actually share how I live my best life, because I meet too many people who are not living their dream. So this book is all about living your dream life and the step-by-step to do that. So that's next. And I set myself a very big dream on this one, which is what I call almost like an impossible dream. I like to set impossible dreams, because if you know it's impossible, you can dream big without thinking how I'm going to do it. So I want to sell, can't believe I'm saying this loud, but I am going to do it. I want to sell 1 million copies, which is, for me, I have no idea how that's going to happen. And the reason behind why I wanted to sell 1 million copies is because for every copy that we're selling, we are going to give a US dollar to a lady in Zimbabwe who started schools in Zimbabwe. And she was voted Oprah's most popular guest ever. And when I came across her, because she's all about dreaming, and so I thought that was absolutely perfect to support that. So my dream has some really good reasons why we want to sell 1 million copies. So
yeah,
if you'd like to buy one, I would be very much appreciated.
I will definitely be buying multiple copies for all the girls in my office.
Yeah, they're really good. I think it's a really good gift, and I really think we can inspire people to live their dream life by the book. So hopefully people would.
Do we know when the release date is?
Can yes, 24th of September.
Oh, 24th of September. You'll hear about it. We'll definitely give it another mention on the website, but that's super exciting.
Thank you.
Now it's time for 10 quick questions with Christina.
What time do you set your alarm?
4:50.
Oh my God, now I feel like I need to ask more questions about that, because that is so inspiring to me, but I won't.
But I go to bed very early.
Okay, well, I'm coming to that question. What do you eat for breakfast?
A green smoothie.
What is your go-to can't live without Kiki K product at the moment?
My 101 dream journal, because I constantly add. I know this is supposed to be a very short answer, but I constantly add to my dreams.
Okay.
And I want to capture them.
What's the most visited website on your laptop or your computer this week?
Pinterest.
What was the last thing you bought online?
Books. I always buy books online.
It's either everyone says the shoes or books. That's everyone I've interviewed has said one or the other. What is one of your weekly rituals? something you do every week?
Reflect on the previous week.
What is your favourite Melbourne neighbourhood and why?
Albert Park, because I always lived in Albert Park and I love the village feel.
It's 9 p.m. on a weeknight. What are you doing?
Reading in bed. I'm very boring.
What time is your bedtime?
Around 9.
And finally, if you could give one simple piece of advice to your younger pre-Kiki K self, what would it be?
That would have been to realize that you can create your dream life much earlier. So I do a lot of the dreaming now, and I obviously did when I started a business, so it's a very long answer. But I really, the power of dreaming has just been incredible for me. So that's what I would do earlier and more.
Well, thank you so much for being on our podcast, Christina, and we can't wait to celebrate the release of your book in September.
Thank you so much for having me.
For more info on Kiki K, you can visit their website at kiki-k.com and you can follow them on Instagram at kiki.k. Christina's own Instagram account is also well worth following for a behind-the-scenes look at her work life and family life. You can follow her at Christina Kiki K, that's all one word. Christina's new book, Your Dream Life Starts Here, is out on September 24th. It will be available in all Kiki K stores and good bookshops, and is available to pre-order now via kikik.com. The book is filled with powerful ideas and simple tools to set a roadmap for creating your dream life. To celebrate the launch of the book, Christina is also hosting an exciting new event series in Melbourne and Sydney in October. Entitled the Dream Life Masterclass Series, this is a ticketed event and it has keynote speakers including gold medalist skier Alyssa Kamplin-Warner, and Dr. Terere Trent, who runs an education foundation in Zimbabwe, and who Oprah Winfrey has referred to as her all-time favourite guest on The Oprah Winfrey Show. You can learn more about the Dream Life Masterclass series at kikik.com. You've been listening to TDF Talks, a fortnightly podcast from The Design Files. As always, all the links we've discussed today can be found in our show notes at thedesignfiles.net/podcast. Of course, you can also visit our main website, thedesignfiles.net, where we post new stories 3 times a day, featuring Australian design, art, architecture, and more. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to TDF Talks on iTunes. Thanks for listening.